some time ago, just in this little testimony, I was at Houston, Texas, and I was having a meeting. We were having somewhat about 8,000 in a coliseum, and Mr. Bosworth and I was together, my brother here. We were having a lovely meeting. Raymond Ritchie and many of the churches around were sponsoring the meeting. And there came a man. I have plenty of critics. We know that. We are bound to. If Jesus had them, well, I've got to have them too, and so do you. We all have them. But there was a man just out of the seminary, and he was a very smart, brilliant man. He was a doctor, had just got his degree, and he was a Baptist minister. His name was Dr. Best. He was a very brilliant young man. He had a nice tabernacle there and a very fine following. And some of these people were coming over to the meeting, and so he took the side to say that there was no such a thing as divine healing. Well, Mr. Bosworth in fiction, the itinerary and the advertisement, and Mr. Ritchie and many of the other ministers had hung a sign out in the street that miracles every night. Well, Mr. Best said, well, that was ridiculous, and there was no such a thing as divine healing, and he put a challenge in the paper. Instead of coming to it, he put a challenge in the paper and said, William Branham is a religious imposter, and said he should be run out of the city, and I should be the man to do it. So I didn't think it sounded very Christian in my brother, but that was all right. And Mr. Bosworth came and he said, Brother Branham, look at this. And he challenged me to debate the subject of divine healing with him openly before the people. Well, I'm not a debater. I don't believe in suffering. I preach the gospel. If the people believe it, well, all right. If they don't, that's all I can do about it. And you never make anything by fussing and debating. Don't never do it, because you just make enemies, that's all. I've seen too much of it. So Mr. Bosworth, he came and he said, Brother Branham, look at this. I said, Brother Bosworth, just let it alone. I said, we've got thousands of people to be prayed for, and why would we fool with one person who doesn't believe when there's thousands waiting to be prayed for who does believe? I said, why fool with it? Well, the next day, the minister put in the paper a great headline in the Houston Chronicle, and he said, it goes to show what they're made out of. They're ashamed and afraid when the real gospel is laid out before them to debate the subject, because it shows what they're made out of. Well, here comes Brother Bosworth to my room again. He said, look at here, Brother Branham. Are you going to take that? And I said, why, Brother Bosworth, it won't do any good. I said, the Holy Spirit is with me. He promised me he would do, and I had the anointing to pray for sick people, and I just won't fool it. He said, let me do it. And so let me, he said, it's a shame to the public who thinks that we're just a bunch of people just flying about. There's no scripture to it or nothing. That we owe it to the public. I said, I only owe the public what God told me to do. And he said, well, Brother Branham, he said, it's not right. So that man hasn't got, but I can produce hundreds of scriptures. And they haven't even got, that man hasn't got one scripture in the Bible to stand on. And said, let me prove it. Well, I thought of Caleb, you know, when he, that old fellow that had the sword, and said, Joshua, he put this in my hand when I was 40 years old, and said, I'm 80 today, and I'm just as good a man today as I was when Joshua gave me the sword. Well, I thought that was pretty gallant of him, being in his 70s, and Mr. Best in his 30s. I thought, just fresh out of the seminary. I looked at him, and I said, Brother Bosworth, I don't want you to go down there and fuss with that man. He said, Brother Branham, I wouldn't fuss with nobody. He said, I wouldn't do it, but I know one thing. I know what the Word of God teaches. He said, I think you owe it to say something about it. I said, all right, you go do it, Ben. But you promise me you won't fuss. He said, I promise. Well, like a little child with Christmas anticipations, down the steps he went. The reporters are waiting. They wouldn't let him come to the room up there. And so I said, I wouldn't fuss with him. So Brother Bosworth, he went down. And then, of course, you know how the newspapers can write. Very big headlines, Ecclesiastical Fur Will Fly. They really decorated up real good. So the next day, but here's what made me know that someday the great church of God's coming together. Just be sure you're going to forget your differences. When communism goes to forcing you right hard, don't worry. You'll come together. God has a way of doing things. And So when the great press come on, it was strange. We couldn't stay in that Coliseum anymore. We couldn't stay in that place we were at. We had to go over and rent the big Sam Houston Coliseum, seats around 30,000. And that day they come in by special planes, special trains, and so that place packed completely full of people. They didn't care whether they were Methodist, Baptist, whether they were Pentecostal, oneness, two-ness, three-ness, or Church of God, or whether it was riding a one-hump camel, two-hump camel, or whatever it was. There was one thing in common, and that was divine healing was at stake, and every man believed in it, and here he come to take the part of it. That's what it takes. Wait till Christianity comes to that spot, and you'll find all the Methodists and Baptists and all of them looking just alike, man. Everybody coming right together, pressing into the kingdom of God. And that settled it with me that day. When I looked back there, and there was thousands of all different descriptions of people sitting there from all kinds of churches, Catholic and all, everybody placed together. And so I told Brother Bagworth I wouldn't go down that night. I said, no, I don't want to hear it. And my brother was with me, and my wife and little girl. He said, well, you just stay at the hotel. I was staying at that time at the Rice Hotel. So I went to the, when it got time to go, I just couldn't hardly stay away. So I got in the cab, and the couple police come, and so they take me down, and I pull my overcoat up like this, and we went way up in balcony 30, and I got a seat up there just before all the crowds got packed in. I was sitting there with my coat up, my wife and boys sitting there. Well, when they come up for the discussion, the moderators and so forth come to the platform. Mr. Cy Ramsar, who used to be Paul Rader's song leader, was leading songs for us. And he was singing, very much of a diplomat on the platform. He was leading the singing. And just before he turned the service over to the moderators, he said, I was reading in a paper the other day where that someone said that William Branham ought to be run out of the city, a religious imposter, said a few people at Houston had put more time running bootleggers out of the city, and you would be religious man like that, said your city would be better off. And a great roar went up all through their place. So I thought, well. And I looked at Brother Bagworth. I'm not saying this because he's sitting behind me, and I believe his wife and son and daughter-in-law and them sitting present somewhere here tonight. I'm not saying this, but I admired him. And he walked out. Mr. Beck, when he came over, he went and hired photographers to come take his picture. And he wanted to take his picture. He said, I'm going to skin that old man and take the hide off of him and tack it on my study door for a memorial to divine healing. Quite a statement for a child of God to say, you know. But so he said that. And so he wanted to take the picture. So they hired the Douglas Studios in Houston, Texas to come take his picture. And so Mr. Bosworth, who had never been in the debate before, and so he wanted Mr. Bosworth thought they would just stand and give scriptures and discuss them. So Mr. Bosworth had a great load of scriptures wrote out. He said, Mr. Best, and Mr. Best said, no, you go up and say what you're going to say in 30 minutes, then I'll say what I've got to say in 30 minutes. So, well, they agreed on that and have a puddle act at the last. Well, I was sitting listening, wondering what was going to take place. Well, when I seen my brother Bosworth walk out there coolly, know just where he was at, there's no doubt in his mind, he said, Dr. Beth, he said, we're sorry that we have to have discussions like this, but said, you had a statement in the paper that Brother Branham was a religious imposter and there was no such a thing as divine healing. So now our subject tonight to discuss is not Brother Branham, it's whether divine healing's in the Bible or not. That's what the debate's for. That's what it's signed up for. Whether divine healing was taught in the scriptures. He said, the gifts of God will prove themselves. But this is what we're teaching, whether divine healing's in the Bible or not. He said, I forget how many scriptures there, 100 or 2. He said, this is Christ's present, his attitude, present attitude towards the sick is just the same today as it ever was. So many scriptures he had, said, if you'll take one of those scriptures, and by the scripture, disprove it, then we won't have any discussion. I've lost the debate, and I'll sit down. If you can take the scriptures and prove that Christ's present attitude isn't just exactly the same towards the sick now as it ever was. And he offered him the paper. Mr. Best said, I'll take care of that when I get up there. He said, you go ahead and what you're going to say. So I'll take care of that. And Mr. Bosworth said, then Mr. Best, I'll ask you one question. And if you will answer me yes or no, I'll sit down. He said, was the redemptive name of Jehovah applied to Jesus, yes or no? I never thought of that myself. That settled it. That's all. He said, I'll answer that. He said, I'm asking you to answer me now. He said, we won't have to discuss it. You say yes or no. Of course, he couldn't. Certainly not. If the redemptive names of Jehovah was not applied to Jesus, he was not the Christ or the Son of God. He wasn't Jehovah Jireh, the Lord's provided sacrifice. And if he was the Lord's provided sacrifice, Jehovah Jireh, he was also Jehovah Rapha, the healer, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That settled it, see? So Mr. Vest got up and turned around, kind of shook his fist 2 or 3 times and sat down. And so Mr. Boswell stood there and just laid off scripture. And I never heard it like that in my life, took it coolly and placed everything to a place where Mr. Vest didn't even have one place at all to go to in scripture. He just was just tied so perfectly that there was no angle to get out of it. He was just tied down. Mr. Best got up when his time came, and Mr. Bosworth, with a very, very polite way, said, Mr. Best, all right, my brother, the platform's yours now. The moderator gave him the platform. Mr. Best got up there and laughed 2 or 3 times and preached a very good Camelite sermon. I'm a Baptist. I know what Baptist doctrine is. So he preached a Camelite sermon on the resurrection. He didn't even believe the miracles that Jesus Christ did. Lazarus died again. He preached it all in the resurrection when this mortal puts on immortality. Of course, any Christian believes that. There'd be a resurrection, but if there's no attributes of the resurrection, if there's no earnest of the resurrection, then there is no resurrection. If there is no divine healing, then there is no resurrection. Now, you couldn't disprove that if you could, but it's Scripture. See? I'm arguing the points of Christ. Because we have the earnest of our salvation, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? That's the down payment, the earnest which holds it secure in heaven for us. And then if there is no divine healing to make a cancer-ridden body come normal and well again, there is no resurrection of the dead. In fact, we have no earnest of it at all. There's no plan made for it. So that settled it. Mr. Best commenced going on, and the audience actually laughed at him. And he said, let me see that divine healer come forth and perform. He got real angry. He said, let me see that divine healer come forth and perform. Mr. Bosworth said the very idea, Mr. Best. You call him Brother Branham a divine healer. I said, never in his all his life did he ever claim to be a divine healer. Very much contrary. He only preaches divine healing through the atonement, just exactly what I proved to you. And you've never even mentioned one scripture that I said or come to any of it. You've never done nothing to preach on the resurrection of the dead, and we all believe that. So there it was. It was up to the audience to make their choice. He said, let me see that divine healer. He said, Brother Branham wasn't to be brought in with the subject is where divine healing is taught in the Bible, and you can't say one word against it. See? Because if you can't, say it now. So there wasn't nothing to be said, because there wasn't no way he could go. Because it was all covered over with the atonement and everything. So there it was. There wasn't nothing to be said. He said, let me see that divine healer. And Mr. Bosworth said to him, said, Brother Beth, do you believe that God saves the soul? He said, yes. You teach that through the atonement? He said, yes. He said, would you want to be called a divine savior? He said, if Brother Branham, by preaching divine healing, is a divine healer, then if you preach salvation, you're a divine savior. So, he got really on the air then. And so he began to roll up and down and said, there's nothing in the world decent thinking people don't believe in such nonsense. He said, Baptists don't believe in no such thing. Said, well, beg your pardon. Brother Bosworth said, Brother Branham is locked in a Baptist cradle. So that's right. But he says he's a backslidden type. Backslidden type. He said, there's no such, said, real true honest Baptists don't believe in no such. Brother Bosworth said, would you excuse me just a moment? Said, how many sitting in this vast audience that belongs to these fine Baptist churches with all these Baptist ministers sitting along here? Said, how many of you in this audience could prove by a doctor's statement that you've been healed by divine healing, the power of God, in Brother Branham's meeting these last 2 weeks, and 300 stood up. So what about those? Mr. Best hit the pulpit with his fist and said, people can say anything, but that doesn't make it right. Well, said, here's the word, teaches it, and there's the testimony of it. Now what about it? And he said, so let me see that divine healer. Then Mr. Ritchie got up. He said, ask the moderator if he could speak just a moment. He said, I know every one of these Baptist ministers. said, is this the attitude of the Southern Baptist Convention towards divine healing? 30,000 people. Is this the attitude that the Southern Baptist Convention takes towards divine healing? Nobody had answered. He said, I'm asking you, brethren, did you all send this man here, or did he come on his own? They said he come on his own. I thought so. Baptists believe in divine healing. Certainly they did. And so he said he come on his own. So that settled it with the Southern Baptist Church. Mr. Best, his own self. So then he kept saying, if I see that miracle worker, let me see him come down here, and let me see him hypnotize one of these people, and let me see him a year from now and see if he's still hypnotized and all like that, you know, just going on. So he said, come up here, won't you take my picture? And he stood there, one man, he put his finger under that saintly old man's face. He said, now take it, because his finger's shaking. They took the picture, and he drawed his fist and shoved it under his nose, you know. But now take it. And they took his picture like that. So they took 6, 9 to 10 glosses of him like that. They went back, there's such a Look, Life, Time, Collier, and all those, and the Chronicle, and all those magazines and papers sitting there. And then Brother Bosworth said, well, now the meeting, as far as I'm concerned, is finished. He said, Mr. Best cannot answer one question against divine healing. Besides, he's miserably whipped. But how many think so? Say amen. And just one great scream went over the building. And then he got real angry and walked down and slapped the minister just about halfway across that platform. And then they had to separate him. So then he walked back and said, bring me that divine healer. Brother Bosworth said, now, Brother Branham is sitting in the meeting. I know he's here because he's seen me up there. He said, now, if he wants to come and dismiss the audience, all right. But said, under such a fuss as this, of course, no. He said, you pray for the sick. He said, if you want to see healings done, come over tomorrow night. He'll be going along all along. And said, I know he's in the meeting. Well, I sit and feel my brother sitting there. He said, now, you sit still. You said you would. I said, well, I'm sitting still. So he said, and you... While I was sitting there like that, I heard something going. I knew it was me. I raised up. My brother said, sit down. My wife said, no. I looked, see, there it was. So just then, everybody's looking around. You didn't know one who was up there. And there's just thousands of friends there. And when I looked back, people just were out one big scream. Poor, dear, loving people. They've seen so many things done that week. So several ushers, hundreds of them, held their arms together like that and made a line. The people trying to touch your clothes to the heel. Brother, this is not something easy. I'm human. I've got children at home. And mother's trying to push her little kids through that rusher's arms to touch her clothes when you're passing by. God will reward kids with that. He will. Sure. And I walked down the platform. I said, Brother Beth. He said, as a man, I admire you. And you're doctrine, you're wrong. I said, that's mutually felt. And I said, I admire you, Brother Beth, and you got a right for your ideas. I said, that's why we're fighting over here in Korea. It's the buzz, it's to keep this America, every man to his own opinion. I said, I don't want any of this people, or any Brother Beth's people, or any of the Baptist people, anyone, to feel bad towards Brother Beth. I said, don't do that. He's our brother, and he just doesn't see it like that. He just believes it his way, and he's got a right to believe it his way. I said, remember, his mother loves him just the same as my mother loves me and your mother loves you. I said, he's somebody's boy, and he's got a right to his belief, so don't feel hard at him. It's just, Mr. Bosworth just proved by the word that the doctrine is sound and in the Bible, and Mr. Best cannot prove it. And so Mr. Best just turned around and started off the platform, and he turned back and looked and sat down. And I said, I have never said that I was a divine healer. I said, never. I said, my books are published in about 17 different languages. And I said, and I guess I'm in contact with several million people, but never have I said a divine healer. I don't heal people. I said, the only thing I do is preach divine healing by the cross and by the Bible. And I said, now when I was a little boy, I said, my mother said, a light hung over me when I was a baby. Yeah, my people were Catholic before me, and my mother and father went to no church. We were Irish on both sides, immigrated from Ireland. And so I said, we were, and there, they didn't go to church. I was born in a little mountain cabin. I said, when I was just a little bitty boy, it began to deal with me. Down through life, it always spoke. And many, many times, and thousands of people have seen it. It comes in like a light. I said, it tells me things. And when he met me, he told me that it was the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that done just exactly the same things that Brother Bosworth's men have said tonight. Jesus didn't claim to do any healing. He said, what the Father showed me, I don't do nothing, I can heal nothing. But just I do just what the Father shows me by vision. That's what I do. You know that's the truth, isn't it? Every Bible reader, scholar knows that's the truth. So he walked through the crowd. He perceived their thoughts. He knows what they're thinking about. He knows what was wrong with him. He knows the woman at the well, when he talked to her a little bit, where her trouble was. He knows Nathaniel's trouble, and he knows where a fish had had a corn in his mouth, just as God would show him he would do. I said, he didn't claim to be a healer. And the resurrection of him, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I said, now if I testify the truth, God will testify of me. If I do not testify the truth, God will never have nothing to do with a lie. God will always testify truth, though. And I said, I'm not out here just to be seen. I'm out here not by choice, by a long way. I wanted to be I was a game warden in the state of Indiana. Now, I love my job. I was born for the wilderness wild. Certainly, it wasn't my choice to preach the gospel, but woe unto me if I preach it not. It was God's choice. I run from it and try to get away from it and everything. But I said, it was him who brought it. And now, I said, if I tell the truth, God will testify the truth. And no more, instead of something went, here he comes, sitting right down where I was. And this photographer went out and took a picture. When he seen me turn white in the face, and he took a picture, I said, God has spoken. And that's all. Catholic people and all sitting there saw it, looked at it. Many of them began to scream and fainting. Come right down. A pillar of fire. Who's right down to the world was at. He shot the picture, and the man, one of the men in the studio was a Jew. His name is Ted Kipperman. The other one's name is Mr. Iris. He's a Roman Catholic. And he just wrote an awful thing in the paper about me the day before that. He said I was a hypnotizer and I don't know what all. And so on the road home that night, taking the negatives, going into heaven developed for Mr. Best, he said, I might have been wrong. So what do you think about that, Ted? Ted said, well, I'm Jew. I don't know anything about it. He said, well, he said, I'm Catholic. He said, we're taught that those things can happen, but it can only happen in the Catholic Church. Now, you're wrong there. See? It can happen wherever God wants it to happen, whether it's in Catholic Church or anywhere he wants it to happen. He's God. He does the choice. He keeps the book. And so he went in and he put the pictures in the dark room to go through the acids to be developed. And the next, after a bit, by Mr. Kipperman, he said, I'm going up and lie down a little while. And so he went upstairs to lie down. And while he was up there, Mr. Iris smoked a cigarette or two and went in the dark room. Said, I'll see. We had to get the pictures ready because Dr. Best, the minister wanted his pictures the next day so he could show it to the people. He's shaking his fist under his nose. So then when Mr. Iris went in, which is an arch enemy of mine, and Brother Boswick too, he didn't believe it. He wrote a piece of paper and said, I wasn't nothing but a hypnotizer. And a garter had left a woman's throat. He said he hypnotized that off of her throat. Oh my. That shows mental weakness. So then when he pulled the first picture out of Mr. Best, it was Mr. Bosworth, it was negative. God wouldn't permit that taken against that saintly old man. He pulled out the next one, negative. He pulled out all six of them, and every one of them was blank. And when he pulled out the other one, there was the angel of God on the picture. He had a heart attack. They sent from it to Rice Hotel. But of course, these two men stand at the door in big meetings where you have thousands and thousands of people. If someone stands at the door, they wouldn't let them in. All right. And then that night at 11 o'clock, that was sent to Washington, D.C. to be copyrighted. On the following day, it was flown back again, and they called in George J. Lacey. He's the head of the FBI in fingerprint and document, the best there is in the world, best in the United States. So being American, we'd say he was the best in the world for us. And so he's the head of the FBI on it. And they brought him in, and he took it to the Shell building under examination of ultra-ray lights and so forth, everything. He tried it. He went out and he measured the distance. He cut the camera to see if it was a double exposure. He'd done everything that he could do to find it out. And on about the fourth day, he said, let's go to meet the Shell building and give the announce what it was. So that day, he said, whose name's Brand? I said, mine. A bunch sitting there, a lot of the newspapers and things, going to see what his report was. He said, stand up. I stood up. He said, you're going to pass out of this life someday like all mortals, Reverend Branham. I said, I'm aware of that. But thank God, I said, Jesus Christ has saved me from sin. He said, I've been one of your critics. And so the man, when he brought up there, he said, Reverend Branham, it's always been said that that was psychology. But I've heard of your meetings and said that it was psychology. Wasn't nothing to it. It was just imagination. When that light would come in, everybody would say, there it is, there it is. And people would say, well, that's, everybody just imagined it. It was tough once before by a newspaper, but it wasn't real. They wouldn't let it go because it wasn't by the American Photographer Association. It wasn't a member of it, so they wouldn't pass it. But this was strictly the American Photographer Association. He said, Reverend Branham, I have said it was psychology, but the mechanical eye of this camera will not take psychology. So the light struck the lens. Everybody begins crying. So he called me forward, presented the picture to me, and I said, well, it's not mine. It belongs to them. He said, you know that's worth $100,000. I said, brother, do you mean to tell me just what he got through saying? That's the first time in all the world's history that a supernatural being was ever photographed. And here's what he said. He said, the old hypocrite, he meant the unbeliever, the old unbeliever has always said that there was no scientific way to prove a supernatural being. He said, now he can't say that anymore. There is absolutely scientific proof that there is a supernatural being. See? Scientifically proved by this mechanical camera here that took the light of that angel standing there and said, it absolutely is the truth. And I said, well, if Jesus Christ thought enough of me to come down and have his picture taken by me for the first time in all the world, you think I'm little enough to commercialize his picture? And he said, no, I wouldn't think that. I said, I turned over to Douglas Studios. He said, well, there ought to be some kind of agreement. I said, sure, they can sell it. And I said, they can as long as you keep it cheap enough that poor people can get it. He said, someday, Reverend Branham, you may be dead and gone. But said, it'll be sold in 10-cent stores. And I said, well, for the glory of God, that would be fine. So then, tonight, the picture's here. George J. Lacy is living today. He's still in this work, and the picture lives on. And if I would die this night, what I have testified about, the scientific world can't say it isn't so because there's scientific machinery and proof that I've told the truth. And the church of millions of people that's been preached to in the past few years has seen it and watched it. And you know it yourself that I've told the truth. And God's testified that it is the truth. That's right. So the testimony is absolutely true. Now look, Christian friends, you're looking for something way out yonder to come. You're looking for something way back this way. Don't do that. It's right here now. Right here now. Just as much as you'll ever see. See, only might sit in greater quantity. But the Holy Spirit is here now, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection.